Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Hey there, foodie fans, and welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, this is your host, your chef de cinema cuisine, Kyle Reinfried. What's going on? What's happening? How are you? Day whatever, whatever. Well, it's the day after Cinco de Mayo that fell on a Taco Tuesday. That's got to be like, what kind of like natural things happen that people are always like, when it's like a blood moon and a solar eclipse? I don't know, one of those kind of crazy things. But besides that, what do we got going on? Oh, yeah, just yesterday as well on Cinco de Mayo, I did my first Instagram live yoga class. I didn't host it. I was the student of the amazing Andrea of Food Mood Gratitude. And, I'm pre-recording this. So I don't know how it went. Maybe this is the last recording of me because I died trying to do yoga. We shall see if I survived. A true cliffhanger. A true empire ending. Anyway, fun episode today. Silly episode. It's me, my bestest of buds, my hetero life mate, Dan Ferrara. He hasn't been on in a while. Had him on for the one episode, Good Burger. And so it's been a little while, been like almost like a year and a half, I think. And a lot has changed. And we're talking a movie that is about friends going through change, and that's Clerks 2. And yes, we're talking Clerks 2 before the first Clerks, but we get into that in this episode. So without further ado, I think if you like Clerks 2, you're going to like this episode because it's just about friends catching up and being silly and talking pop culture and pretty much everything that Clerks represents. And thank you very much to my other dear friend, Brian Rodriguez, host of High School Slumber Party, my co-host for P.S. I Love Hoffman, P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, for helping Dan and I out with the technical difficulties recording on Discord and recording it that way. I'm learning a lot through quarantine, so thank you for your friendship and guidance. Here we go. Oi! That was a lot.
Yeah, that was an hour.
That was an hour. I'm so sorry. You are busy, and we're just now in it because Craig has told us we're recording.
Yeah, that's fine. You just give it dead space before you want to start.
No. This is going to be part of the podcast, Dan.
All right.
This is what the people want.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Exactly. I feel a little bit better because I listened to... Well, welcome everyone to Foodie... Well, I have a cold opening anyway, so you know you're here. It's Foodie Films with me. My best bud, my hetero life mate, which is a very appropriate thing to say for today's episode.
Yeah, there's a running theme for sure.
Welcome back, Dan. It's been over a year since I last had you on.
Yeah, and it's like funny because you've definitely been growing with this and speaking with real people in the industry and like real like chefs. And I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, maybe you've grown, understandably, beyond the let me just talk to my friends type thing. Because like I said, you're talking to real people in the industry, and now you're doing like video yoga with other food podcasters and all that. Like, yeah, you're a little bit beyond my range. But then you know what? Boom, there's an episode where you got to talk about shitty food. And we're back here because you always need a shitty food guy. And I'm that guy for you. I'm glad I can fill that role in your life as the shitty food guy.
No, this is it's a movie. I'm doing the movie episodes. I've got the first cut episodes. I've got the movie episodes, and this is a movie that we said a long time ago that we both wanted to talk about. So here we are. And that's Clerks 2. And yes, I haven't covered Clerks yet, so it's a little taboo that I guess we're talking a sequel before the original. But this, I think, this film is at least special to us in our friendship, our relationship. We saw it together in theaters. But before all that, let's just talk some food stuff in general. I mean, last time I had you on, I know it was because we talked Austin, so it was after your bachelor party, but before your wedding. So cut to a little over a year later, you're now a father.
Yeah, no, that happened quick. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently didn't have any time to waste.
So how'd that happen? Walk us through that process.
Okay, so there we were. And funny thing was, I wasn't involved. I just... No.
it was immaculate, right?
That's what she tells me. You know. But it better be immaculate, Mary.
Well, a lot of big things are happening in the world. Obviously, quarantine and, you know, via COVID and everything like that.
Having a baby during the pandemic is a weird way to start out.
Yeah, you said that you like started keeping a journal pre.
Yeah,
are you still
journal.
An apocalypse journal?
Yeah, because we didn't know what the hell was going to happen. It was it was truncated earlier than expected because he came about 10 days earlier than expected.
Okay.
Fortunately, the last entry was the night he was born, but before we knew he was going to be born. It was like before I went to bed that night. And then I just haven't really had the time since because I'm fortunate enough to still be working from home, but also once you have a newborn, it's like, okay, especially with the pandemic and working from home and, you know, you kind of don't know what day it is anyway, because like the line between weekends and weekdays kind of blur together anyway.
Time is meaningless for me.
Yeah. And now couple that with a kid that doesn't sleep. You know, so it's like you have no fucking clue what day, hour, like when like you do get a chance to sleep, like it'll be like in the middle of the day for like maybe 2 hours or 3 hours, or like you'll fall asleep at like 5 PM and wake up at 8 PM. And now it's like it went from light to dark, but you have no reference of what side of the day it's on. Uh-huh. So it's like time has lost all meaning, like completely. Like
exactly.
It's a total void.
Yeah, it has for a lot of people, but that sounds like it's a real double down on that for you.
The only way it could be worse if I was somehow jet lagged.
Yeah. It just sounds like you're pretty much like living on like you're in like a submarine. That's
exactly.
All of a sudden, it's like you're getting messages that there's another submarine coming, or there's like a ship above you.
Yeah, like imagine being in a room for 24 hours or for a week with no windows and no windows and no clocks. You know, you just got to rely on what people tell you. Like, oh, it's Thursday. I guess I have to believe you. You know, and it's like it's not that bad. We have clocks and we have windows, but just with the like, and like I said, in between all of that, I'm still trying to work. So it's like,
yeah.
What are your
like eating habits like, and like what are you guys eating? Like, I can't even imagine. Like, I mean, I always like to cook for myself anyway, and now I have all the time in the world. But like, with that, with obviously having now, that's got to be crazy.
I said it just a couple seconds ago. I'm your shitty food guy, Kyle. In times like these, you always turn to your shitty food because it's fast and it's easy, and nobody really feels like working for it.
But, so we're talking like fast food, or just like frozen microwave of like DiGiorno.
It's a good combination. Uh-huh. I would never microwave a DiGiorno. I'm not fucking scum.
Okay,
I do have standards. Shitty food, not just shit. Okay.
But it's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
But no, I'm actually, that's one thing I take pride in myself on, is I make a really good frozen pizza.
There's
more to it than just popping it in the oven.
I was going to say, is there a secret? Yeah, what's the,
Well, first you need, and people have like that pizza stone thing that they put in the oven with
them. Oh, yeah, like the clay stone kind of.
It's better than putting it on the rack, but there's another thing that we have. It's a similar idea, but it's almost like a the bottom of an air fryer where it's like the holes in like this metal pan.
Uh-huh, yeah, so it like kind of aerates it, but it also...
Yeah, and that works 1,000 times better.
Ooh, okay.
And cook it a little bit hotter. It's, usually it says 400 degrees. Pump that shit up to 450. Get a little bit hotter. Get that
We're
crust.
Cooking.
Yep. And then don't just put it in as is. One of the best things I bought for like $3 at Walmart was this thing called Misto.
And Misto?
You pour olive oil in it, uh-huh. And it's like a little pump, and it's like an aerosol sprayer for your olive oil.
Oh, actually, I think I have that, but it doesn't like it. Like, it just didn't, like, I tried to use it and didn't work.
You probably didn't pump it up enough.
Oh, okay. You got
it. Because it does take a lot, like, more than you think.
Okay.
But anyway, so you spray that over and doctor it up a little bit. Throw on your oregano. Throw on your garlic salt. Throw on your crushed red pepper, you know. I usually like to add a little bit of extra shredded mozzarella because frozen pizzas never have enough.
They're skimping on the cheese?
Yeah, always. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. It's not brand specific, but... You know, doctor it up. You got to make it your own. But yeah, you do little stuff like that, and it comes out a world better. So,
what's your favorite kind of pizza? Pepperoni?
Yeah, like I'm a, like standard, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, like classic toppings go.
Classic toppings go, pepperoni. I'm also a really big fan of meatball and onion.
Oh, meatball and onion. Okay. Not sausage and onion, meatball and onion?
Meatball and onion. I'm not actually a big fan of sausage at all on pizza.
Oh, okay. I love a good sausage, like green peppers and onions.
Like, I don't mind it. It's just, but it's not my favorite. Sausage isn't high on my meat scale.
Wow.
Not that I dislike it. Don't get me wrong. Not that I dislike it.
Good thing I didn't have you on for sausage party.
Yeah, true. Well, hot dogs count as sausage.
Yeah, they are. It's more hot dog party than sausage party.
But yeah, you know, those little, but the most important thing about a pizza, especially here, it's like, it's got to be crispy.
Yeah, exactly.
Rule of thumb is cook it well done. Your thinner the crust, the better. And your slice of pizza should be able to like when you hold it by the rear crust.
Yeah.
It should be able to lay flat for at least 7 seconds before it dips.
Okay. And are you still, when you're eating it, are you still folding it like a slice like that? It's not as big as a regular slice, right?
The smaller pizzas, you don't really don't have to. But yeah, but even like a regular slice, I like it. If it cracks, you did it right.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, back to my original point. We got that. I'm a huge fan of the air fryer. I think that is the best thing as far
as... Yeah, you're now like indoctrined to the air fryer.
Oh my God, as far as kitchen inventions go, that is the single greatest thing on the planet Earth.
Do you guys have like a... Is it like a big one? Because I know there's different sizes.
I'd probably say, I mean, if I had to guess, it's like a half-gallon basket.
Okay.
Or maybe something a little bit bigger than that. But it fits a shit ton of chicken nuggies and fries. So, I'm good for that. But even, like, as far as, like, reheating stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go wrong. It's 1,000 times better than anything you microwave, you know? If you have, like, takeout that you're going to reheat the next day, like something that does have, like, fries or chicken wings or something like that, it's going to be 1,000 times, sometimes better than the first time in the air fryer. I'm a huge proponent of the air fryer. I will sing its praises all night and day.
Yeah, I don't have one, but Danielle does, or I guess technically her roommate does, but you know.
And it's quick, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's, you go from frozen fries to cooked fries in 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
So I do that all day. We were lucky enough, my parents and her parents both, they couldn't, unfortunately, due to the pandemic and stuff, they couldn't come in and like, well, they came in, but they couldn't like handle the baby. They were wearing masks. They had to stay away because, you know, it's just a crazy fucking world we live in now. But with that, they brought in a bunch of like prepared food and stuff like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are you getting casseroles? Like, I feel like that's such a...
We actually got a really good chicken Alfredo. That
oh,
and it was a big tray of it. Her one of her good friends made a delicious beef stroganoff.
Oh, I love beef stroganoff. Yeah,
it's like, and I haven't had that in like forever. And that
although I'm not a, big mushroom guy.
Normally, I'm with you on that one, but you can really taste like the red wine in the sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And it went really well with it. So mushrooms, no pun intended, have been growing on me.
We've been doing a lot of food puns. The other day, I messaged you, and I asked you.
That was the most fun I've had in days. I'm not gonna lie.
Do you know that your wife Autumn, and if you guys aren't from, I mean, I've only had you. I mean, this is your second time only, but you guys should be listening to. You guys have frequented how many episodes? At least three, four times you've been on High School Slumber Party.
Yeah, three or four times. Yeah.
Together.
Three times. I've been on a few times.
Alone. Yeah. We were on together for Encino Man.
Right.
Great food scene in that movie. The major food groups. but yeah, even Autumn texted me on the side, and she says,
"I told her, I'm like, hey, if you have any ideas, text Kyle."
So she texted me, "Lord of the Ring Dings." I just said, "Haha, thanks." She said, "This is our brain teaser for the for today." So you know, I said, "Happy to stimulate." I mean, that's you know, it's
I'm not gonna lie, I made myself laugh out loud with Freddie Got Chicken Fingered.
That one's pretty. I mean, it's already a ridiculous title, obviously.
Yeah.
But that one's a pretty good one. You know, I'm just gonna rattle some. I mean, because I texted you. I mean, I guess you guys have seen I've posted so far. I mean, you should be following Instagram if you're listening to this podcast. But what I did, the Pie Hard drive through and the Italian bread job. That was you had a lot of bread ones in the beginning.
In the beginning, yeah, the thin bread line. I like that one.
yeah, the French bread connection. Then you said Cheddar Off Dead. That's good. The Burger Kingsman. Live and Let Fry. No, the one that got me the best, though, was We Bought a Tiramisu. I just love that one so much just because I love... It's such a... You know, it's a Cameron Crowe film, and I don't know. It's a whatever... It's like a good family film.
I never saw it.
Okay. That's amazing that you just even then came up with it, just even not having seen it. Actually, it's a movie I've seen like a couple times, like when it like was on HBO, just playing, you know, like when movies are playing frequently for a while, for a couple months. And it's not a bad movie. It's Scarlett Johansson and Matt Damon. But it just the We Bought a Tiramisu just got me really good.
I was also really proud of There Will Be Blood Sausage.
Yes, that one's really good. I told that one to Danielle, and she started cracking up. Inglourious Basterds, that's a good one. Reservoir Hot Dogs. Oh, Any Given Sunday, I kind of made the poster for that. I need to come up with a better design for that one. But I feel The Collared Green Mile is a bit risque. The movie we're talking about, the movie we're talking about today, definitely has a bit a couple of moments that I'll allude at, but we definitely, I don't think, just because it is, 14 years later after this movie? And they're not meant, like, to be, like, in a hateful way, but just, there's a lot of jokes in Clerks 2 that I just don't think...
are culturally sensitive in a post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, these food puns, keep up, Pasta the Mohicans, that was really good. Charlie Chaplin's The Dictator Tot. Get him to the Greek yogurt. Yeah, all fantastic ones. So I love all these food puns. And then Brian sent me. It's we're recording this on like a.
It's a Wonderful Life cereal.
It's he likes it. He really likes it. we're recording this just a few days before this is being released. So may the 4th be with you,
and also with you.
but Brian sent me a perfect, I think I put it in my story, but he sent me a picture before, or a meme, whatever you want to call it. And it's from the two different movies, in the Star Wars universe, but it's, Obi-Wan talking to, Padme, and it says, "I've seen a security hologram of Anakin," and it says, "Killing Yinglings." And then it cuts to Anakin in the field in episode 2, and he's drinking Yinglings. So instead of younglings, it's Yinglings. And I said, that's brilliant. That's the kind of puns I'm looking for. So besides movie posters, anytime there's any kind of wordplay, I'm all for it. because that's just, I feel like that's, I don't know, that's always been like a part of just like our ridiculous friendship.
Oh, that and like our ongoing list of band names and...
Ongoing list of band names and then just like diner experiences and farting really loud and making weird noises.
Oh my god. You have no idea how loud babies fart.
Really?
Oh my god. Like it sounds like a grown man's wet ass just slapping together.
Yeah, you always, that's interesting because you always hear the jokes like, where did all that come from? Or how something so small makes something that smells so bad? But like, that's like one thing. I mean, that still is like crazy, especially the quantity.
It's not even like the smell. It's just like
the But I've actual, never heard that aspect, like the noise.
It's the actual, like, I'm going to have to record some of his Harry's like, like
for science.
For science. It's like, and I think part of it is like, you have to put on like the diaper rash cream a lot. Like, you know, okay. 'Cause you get changed. So I think that wetness is always kind of like there.
But, oh like, yeah. So yeah. It has the good, the raspberry-ness, right?
But it sounds like grown man farts. Like it's, like, I don't know if it's all babies or maybe mine's just like really skilled. And I'm a little proud.
That's something that, you know, you guys can eventually bond over someday. I mean, you're already bonding, but, you know, he doesn't know who you are.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know anything. Freaking stupid.
This is what, Harry, you're listening to this some years later. Hello. I'm long gone. This was one of your dad's best friends, Kyle.
It's Uncle Kyle.
Oh, Uncle. I haven't heard it yet. I'm Uncle Kyle. That's fun. I'm not an Uncle Kyle to anybody because I have my niece calling me Tio because I'm trying to help her embrace her partial Latina heritage.
Oh, well, we told Autumn's parents that we were going to name the kid Juan Diego. Like, for a while, like kind of like seeing how they would bite. Because we told them, yeah, like Juan Diego Ferrara. It sounds like a Mexican politician. You know, it's pretty regal.
I've mentioned it enough. Let's jump into Clerks 2. I would normally say to a guest, I mean, I'll still say it, but like, when did you see it? What did you think? So I know when you saw it with me all the way back in 2006.
Yeah, so I can't believe it was that long ago.
We were 19 years old. We are now 32 going on 33. So we are the age the characters are supposed to be in this movie.
Yeah, which adds a whole different, like on this watch, different level of like relating to the characters.
Yeah, like I remember watching it, you know, in theaters and going like, oh man, these guys don't have their shit together. And I'm like, oh, you know, like this time I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I get that.
Well, that's when you just realize like being grown up is like it's not like, okay, I'm grown up now. Everybody's just lying. You know, everybody's just like everybody's just kind of like faking it. Everybody's faking it. You know, it's like
that's more reassuring, like, coming from a guy that is married, has a house, has a wife, has a dog, has a kid.
See, and that's what I was gonna get into. I know we'll get there later on, but I feel like we kind of had some moments that are very similar to Randall and Dante.
For sure.
Like, you know, especially, you know, and we'll get there, and you know, I want to bogart your time here, but I say we there's definitely stuff we relate to better now, having gone through shit as friends of, you know, over the past 15-16 years from seeing it the first time.
Sure,
that made it more hit home a little bit harder, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, this is definitely one of those that, like, watching in theaters, it's like this Team America, probably like Tenacious D movie, like movies we saw together, that the Borat movie. I remember I came down, it was like, I think our sophomore year of college, I came down to Rowan. We saw that together.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking movies that were just like nonstop laughs.
Yeah. That we just cracked up the whole time at. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, also just your memories of this and then just of Clerks. Again, we are covering, I haven't covered Clerks yet. Maybe you'll be on that one, but I just, you know, but I know that I wanted to talk Clerks too. It definitely is a bit, you know, it's a quick stop. And that, so that is a place of food that totally falls into my category of movies I can cover, but this is a fast food. It takes place in the Moobies, which is the fictitious fast food restaurant introduced in Dogma, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, yeah, because they're worshiping the golden calf.
Yeah.
but side note, I heard Moobies might be becoming a real thing
There's a movie, of course, and I tweeted it, and I like on Instagram I commented like LA just always gets the awesome food pop-ups. This one, I mean, no movies, I guess. Well, I guess it's supposed to. It's a national, obviously, fast food chain in the Kevin Smith like universe. I don't think it's just a New Jersey thing. But like, there was a pop-up for what's the fictitious fast food place in Coming to America? McDowell's.
Gotcha,
and so
right.
point being, there was a McDowell's pop-up in LA, but I'm like, that should be like, you know, I had Brian on for that episode all the way back. I think that was like episode 3 or something like that. But point being, that should be in Queens. That's where the movie takes place. That's how I'm, you know, try to be logical in that sense. Point being, LA always gets awesome food pop-ups. They had one for Good Burger, the episode you were on.
Right.
And so they've had a movies pop-up that they've been doing deliveries. And it's weird. They'd had like, I forget what, I think they had like, it wasn't burgers and stuff. It was like lasagna.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like what? No, you're doing it wrong. If you're going to like, come on.
Yeah,
that's just lame. That's just like the lamest thing. Like you're ruining it.
Yeah. Mubi's pop up. Like what? I mean, a Mubi meal. I'm looking at the Instagram right now. Okay. So it comes with, there's tater tots. The dessert is chocolate covered pretzels.
Yeah, that's all well and good. That stuff's fine.
Yeah. How do you not have a burger? Well, I see a sandwich. What kind of sandwich is it? That looks like maybe a meatball parm? I don't know. It's weird. It's not burgers. It comes in the old like Happy Meal kind of like boxes. Like it comes
right.
in one of those. Like the packaging is cool looking. But yeah, it's just like not. Yeah, it looks like it's a lasagna sandwich, a lasagna witch. The fuck? Yeah, it should be burger. What do they call a skinny moo in the movie?
Yeah, right? The skinny moo is like the single, and then the joke is, especially even going back to like the Dogma ones, the joke is it's supposed to be these giant, disgusting, fat burgers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's supposed to be stuff that gives you like instant heart attacks.
Yeah, and it's just, I love it. Just even the makes the moo every time you come in the door,
yeah,
and they have that creepy rhyme. It's just a total, you know, yeah, satire on the whole.
Yeah,
definitely McDonald's.
Yeah, it's the super size
yeah.
beyond, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, so they have this, yeah, they have a pop-up.
Lasagna, what? Get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah, I don't get that. So
like,
I'm kind of happy it's not happening here. Bring that shit over here once there's burgers and like a chicken sandwich or some shit. But yeah, definitely burgers, because it's movies. That's even
like
that's what you're even like,
huh? Our mascot's a cow. What a cow. Lasagna, like what the, like,
yeah, that'd be like Chick-fil-A and they're like, we got sloppy joes.
Yeah, like, I'm just really disappointed right now. It's just like, who, more than one person agreed to that too, and that's
yeah.
the really disappointing thing. Like more than one person said, yeah, that's what we're gonna go with.
It's also a lasagna sandwich. Like, how does that make sense? That's just like the like pasta on bread. Like,
yeah, so many carbs.
Yeah,
bro.
Okay. Well, let's try to get back into a good place.
Yeah.
This movie is hilarious. Definitely dated. Like, again, it doesn't come from a malicious place. The humor, I'd like to say that. Even like the way that Randall doesn't know that whatchamacallit is offensive. I don't want to say the slur. So that's even his character is innocent in that sense. But it, nonetheless, the movie is, I think, you know, dated in that way.
Yeah. Well, even like going back to like that point with all the, I think that's a great moment. Because like I said, how it's with Randall and Dante, especially watching it now, it's these moments like we're watching the slow realization that Randall found, like is discovering that, oh no, my grandma was totally racist. Like,
yeah.
These weren't just like, oh no, that's just a cutesy little term. Oh no, that was racist. Like that. And I feel like us growing up, you know, in our 30s, you know, we heard our grandparents, you know, say shit that is totally not cool now. And we're growing up, we're thinking like, oh yeah, that, no, that's just grandma. That's the way they say it. And then it's like, oh no, they called it that because they grew up totally racist. It's like, we're in that same position going from, you know, Randall had that whole innocent thing. Like, no, my grandma used to call me that as a term of endearment. And then, you know, watching the rest of the world, he's like, oh, no.
Man, I saw on Instagram today via, like, NJ.com or North Jersey News, there was one of those, you know, construction road signs that they'll have out, especially now with the COVID-19 going on.
Yeah, like the flashing signs.
Yeah, and it said like something about like telling people, I forget what specifically it was for, but it said, don't be a knucklehead. And then that was posted via North Jersey News or NJ.com. And people were like, is this offensive? It's like, knucklehead?
Oh my God.
Mean anything. It's just like a term from, it means just thick headed.
Yeah.
It's like, is that going too far?
Not one, there's plenty of insults and derogatory terms that were pulled somehow to degradate a population. Knucklehead has nothing, it's the name of a freaking motor. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound like my father, but like political correctness has gone crazy at it, because there are legitimate gripes, the whole Washington Redskins thing. There's definitely things to be said for that argument. I'm not trying to negate anything like that at all. But if you're offended by the term knucklehead, just go fuck yourself. Just straight up raw dog yourself.
I have no problem saying the word knucklehead.
Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff in this movie as far as like racial slurs and homophobic words. The racial stuff, again, like that comes from a point of Randall not understanding and not knowing and like learning. So we are actually experiencing a character learn. Actually, no, he doesn't really learn because he has it on the back of his shirt. In the end, he's trying to bring it back, but there is during the whole the hilarious explanation of why Randall doesn't like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, there's some homophobic slurs being used, and that is just of like the time and using those.
Oh yeah, well it's funny because like ourselves were absolutely guilty of it back then. Without getting, we're referring to an F word that's not. Fuck, something that even to the point that not even in our heads meant like homosexual, not realizing the power behind that word.
Exactly. There's a hilarious South Park episode about like why it doesn't mean a homophobic slur to like the kids of South Park.
But watching it now,
it's uncomfortable.
You see that and you're like, wow. When was the last time you like heard that word?
Oh yeah,
and like just in general, but also haven't heard that word in like where it wasn't hate speech.
Exactly. So it
definitely hits totally different than it used to when we were kids.
Yeah, no, been a while since I watched this movie, and watching it, it definitely gave me a couple moments of like not cringe. I'm like, Kevin Smith, what are you doing?
No, but there's and I think it's probably good that it does. It makes us kind of cringe. Go, like I feel weird that I've used that term and like I'm not that. I'm glad we've grown.
Exactly. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's 14 years later.
Yeah.
That's it's even his daughter Harley Quinn is in the movie. She's the little girl that he sees in the window, and when Dante at the end is like, "There's a number one also." Not number one, we've said so many things by now. But there's a lot of montages in this movie. I did not realize how many montages were in this movie.
For a movie thematically that is simply about growing up and realizing that it's okay to feel lost in your 30s, and like I said, thematically about growing up, there's a lot of self-reflection on how much we have grown up while you're watching this. Which I think is a really interesting play.
That's so this movie, I think, is the last of the movies of Kevin Smith's that like before he started getting like shitted on. Or I guess that movie Jersey Girl came out before this one, so he kind of came back with this. But this even falls into his universe movies, because now he's done a couple of horror films and that kind of stuff. And he's just even had he had the Jay and Silent Bob reboot that came out. And Kevin Smith, I think, definitely falls under the law of almost like you love him or, I mean, you shouldn't say not him, but his films. Like, I think people either love his films or just don't like them and just kind of, shrug them off and don't care.
Yeah. And especially like you said, the universe films, like the quintessential.
Yeah. Look, well, so you got, he went from Clerks to Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and then Clerks 2, as right. far as, you know.
Yeah. And like, I'll even remove Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back from that, because that's more of just an overall just goofball comedy type movie.
Sure.
But, you know, those essential, they're all, you know, it's the Red Bank, like, it's Jersey. You know what I mean? It's that whole Jersey-centric thing. So for, especially where we are and where we grew up and where we're from, like, it makes it that much more ours and endearing to, you know what I mean? It's like,
we're both born and raised, educated, still living, probably it, dying.
It's one of those, it's almost like, you know, it's actually, it's even part of this movie too, where Dante's fiance. So like, let's get the fuck out of Jersey, Florida, you know, this, that.
Yeah. I love that she's promoting the place. Like if New Jersey doesn't get the most punchline jokes in pop culture, it's definitely them Florida.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. It's like New Jersey is one of those things that like, yeah, we can talk shit on it because it's ours.
Yeah.
But the second you start talking shit about it, fuck you. Fuck you. I'm going to ruin your day. You know, it's like, it's almost like your little brother. It's like, I can talk shit on him, but you fuck with him, we're going to have a problem. You know?
Shocked that in no Kevin Smith movie, the Taylor Ham v. pork roll debate has never come up.
Yeah, no, that is a big
one. Such a Jersey guy in movies that take place like in Jersey and everything like that. I'm so, like, you know, you would think, but.
But I think that, you know, I think that like show that even shows itself in this with the whole, like, you're going to go to fucking Florida. Like, really? Florida, where New Yorkers go to die.
Yeah. That's exactly. I mean, that's where we send like New Jersey and New York, you know, New Jerseyans and New Yorkers to die.
Oh, there's more Rangers fans in Florida than there are. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you go to Florida, you really think people are rooting for the Marlins? No, they're all Yankees fans, you know?
So any, like, as far as, I mean, this movie has a lot going on in it, even though it's a short film, it's only like an hour and a half. I mean, we said it takes place in this fictitious fast food restaurant. We're introduced to the new character of Becky, played by the amazing Rosaria Dawson.
Oh, isn't she just such a doll?
She is just amazing, and I'm so excited that she is joining The Mandalorian Season 2 as Ahsoka Tano. Yeah.
Doesn't that start, like, next week?
No.
I thought it started May 8th.
No, it's not starting for a while. No.
Oh, fuck. All yeah, right, that's a bummer.
No, there's since it's May the 4th, National Star Wars Day, there was I haven't watched it yet, but now all Star Wars films, so Episode 9 is on there now, and then also I think it's multiple episodes, maybe it's a documentary per episode, but point being, a making of The Mandalorian came out today.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And they also announced today that Taika Waititi, who did the voice of, oh God, what's the name of that, the robot, IG-11?
Right.
Right? Yeah. He did the voice of that, and then he directed the season one finale episode. It's just announced that he's directing a solo Star Wars movie. Not Han Solo.
A standalone Star Wars.
Yeah, story. Exactly. They're calling them Star Wars stories. So
yeah,
it's a new cool. Star Wars story. Yeah. So a lot of, and while I know we love this scene. We're just going to be jumping all over the place. I'm not going to go in chronological order. All
right. Cool.
You know, there's that amazing Star Wars talk because Kevin Smith is quite possibly the ultimate Star Wars fan, has made a good living talking about it, and always, you know, starting with Clerks, has that amazing dialogue between Dante and Randall about what the union workers of the Death Star and everything like that.
Yep, all the contractors and
all the contractors. That wasn't fair when they bombed the Death Star and everything like that. They just have families and they're just trying to make a paycheck. This one goes to that level, as I kind of mentioned it before, but the comparison, because we have, did I even write his name down? Yeah, Elias. That's we pretty much the two new main characters. Are Elias and Becky, and Elias is 19 years old and gets dropped off at work by his parents and kisses his mom in the mouth goodbye, and has a girlfriend.
Like Tom Brady does with his son.
Like Tom Brady does with his son. Fucking Tom
also
Brady.
Another Florida resident now, by the way.
and then has a girlfriend that has a I'll just go ahead and say it, a pussy troll called Pillow Pants. So there you go. There's also interspecies erotica in this movie. That's happening.
I'm glad you used the
interspecies erotica. Fucking prudes. But we get the awesome, there's only one return, and that's of the Jedi.
It's not of the king, it's of the Jedi. I love, my favorite part of that scene is when here's the first movie and he's like strolling along. Here's the second movie and he has like the fake little trip in the middle. Oh. And then the third one throws the ring in, shrugs and walks back.
And
I love that too, because it's like, I do not, like, Peter Jackson, mad respect to, nothing, not taking away anything from him. And I'm also a guy, I've read The Once and Future King. I've read Lamort de Arthur, so like, I have no problem with fantasy and medieval fiction, stuff like that. I do not give a fuck about The Lord of the Rings at all. I couldn't make it through the movies. I just did not care one bit. So,
I mean, they're good movies in like a lot of ways, but at the same time, they're very long movies. And I mean, Randall hits the nail on the head when he says even the trees fucking walk in those movies. I enjoy them. I did not enjoy then the Hobbit prequels, so that to me then put because I have my friend Zach, while he loves Star Wars, he's a big defender. We would always go back and forth on Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars, and as they bring up the prequels, I'm like, no, let's just compare the three original trilogy to Lord of the Rings. And he's like, no, those are part of your movies now, those shitty prequels.
Yeah, canon.
But then once those Hobbit trilogy, and they made a trilogy out of those are like, if you think Lord of the Rings is boring, oh my god, those Hobbit trilogies, that trilogy is just absolutely horrible. And then now we have the new trilogy, and while I'm not necessarily the biggest fan, I love The Force Awakens, and then I'm pretty divided on the other two. We won't get into that because we're not talking just Star Wars here.
Yeah, we'll get real lost there.
Yeah. But, do you have, like, what? Do you have, like, a favorite moment from this movie? Favorite scene? Or just stuff going on with the characters?
It's just, you know, this is one of those movies where it's, you know, we always said, I think Anchorman is probably the most quotable movie of all time.
Yeah, after that, I mean, I don't think it was the summer that it came out, but it was like you, me, and Sam, and we would just DVD player in his car.
But I just mean just in general. But I mean, after watching this, this has to be up there too. There are so many great, I mean, and that's where like Kevin Smith's dialogue writing is like just fantastic. Because even with the original Clerks, but like just down to, you know, Jay and Silent Bob coming out of rehab and finding Jesus, and now they're selling drugs, but they're also giving you Bible quotes, and, you know, like, oh man, I'm getting bored, and boredom's the first road to relapse, you know, like just stuff like little things like that, and
maybe an I might be an astronaut and find a new alien life form.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. We talk about, yo man, homie fucked a Martian, like, you know, it's just like things like that. And then, the whole ass to mouth thing, there's just so many like individual moments that
classic ATM.
Yeah. It's, yeah. You know, in the heat of the moment, sometimes it's okay.
It truly is a foodie movie.
It's all about taste.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. And then even, I mean, it's again a little taboo, but I feel a bit more comfortable talking about this, the whole Anne Frank Helen Keller, that, dude, I know that, when we saw that originally, that got us on in stitches.
Well, that hit so close to home, because I mean, for the listeners out there, we went to high school with this other kid, Eric Flig, who is now a cop.
Yes, protect and serve.
And we were on paintball camping trip. Yeah. And in a similar confusion, because I feel like a lot of people confuse Helen Keller and Anne Frank anyway, but our buddy Flig, Eric Flig. I don't know if it's okay to say his name. I don't know how that works now.
Fine.
But he took it one step beyond, and we're at this campground, and there's like a water pump. And he's running there, and he starts pumping the water, and he's laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
Going, look, I'm Molly Thatcher. And so so here he is.
Unkind, kind of deaf voice.
He's going, I'm Molly Thatcher. Water, water, water. Like, in, you know, a mocking deaf voice. So here he is saying he's Molly Thatcher, which is a combination of Molly Pitcher and Margaret Thatcher, when he's really trying to say Helen Keller.
The Molly Pitcher. Okay, so you're.
But the Margaret Thatcher prime minister of, like, where did that come from?
Yeah, Molly Thatcher. Oh my god.
So that's just.
And that was before we saw this movie, so I think that, like, brought up all the funnies. Yeah. You know, like,
but
when we.
I just was pulling it back to how relatable I found this on this second watch. Anyway, yeah. These days, and it's like, oh wow, we even had that moment almost exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's what Kevin Smith does. I mean, he's kind of he plays the good role of, like, the average Joe guy, and just in life in general. I mean, this, you know, like, he good for him. He's lost a lot of weight. He's very healthy after he had that big heart attack. But, you know, always wearing hockey jerseys or just like this bright purple blazer, but like a colorful t-shirt underneath it. Always wearing freaking jorts, backwards baseball cap. But then just like via his stories and his dialogue, they're just those movies that, I'm not saying women can't joke around like this, but just as me being a guy, I know I have these stupid, silly references, conversations that happen in these movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And definitely just between the two of us alone. That, yeah. Like, is, we could, you know, if we were good at writing, we could write a movie in this vein. But then in the end, they do end up having, even like, I know I told you about it, but obviously you have a child now, so I'm sure maybe you didn't have time to watch because I think it's on Amazon, but Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
I saw it. I haven't watched it yet, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So even at the end of that movie, like, it's not as good, I think, as, let's just say, the what is that, six early films, you know, connective universe films that I mentioned before. But nonetheless, even at the end of that one, it has a lot of heart to it. And this movie, I mean, boy, by the end, like, when they're in the jail cell, and then just Randall is just like, you know, jail cells really haven't changed much in the past, like, couple centuries. And just, but then coming down to Dante saying, like, I was going to start anew, I was going to get the fuck out of here. And just Randall saying, are you really going to make me say it? Like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And going back to, it's like, even after they go in the go-karts and they're driving back home, and he's like saying, he's like, you're really, like, I think we even, like, literally me and you kind of had a similar moment when it's like, you know, when I was moving down here towards Hamilton, and it's like, you're really, you know, we had our little, like, I don't want to say, like, breakup, like, scared or breakup scare, but it's,
but
like,
just, you know, the conversation of things are going to change.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to be next door anymore, more or less.
Yeah. You know? I was 100% Buddy from Charles in Charge, and would just walk into your house. Your house always had the best snacks. So sometimes they would walk into your basement first, grab a soda and some snacks, and then like, even like, whether it's just for myself or then even like some for you, or stock your fridge. Like, I just always restocked your fridge.
Kyle, this is why I'm your shitty food friend. Because my house is always filled with cookies and soda.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. And
for the record, my father worked for Keebler for a long time. So my basement was always filled with cookies.
Yeah, your basement, at least when we were like in high school, was very much like the Eric Foreman basement. Like, it was the general hang.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all congregated there. But then even like, I mean, when we even became, I think it's like, obviously as close a friend, I mean, obviously our friendship has grown over the years, but when we truly really became friends, like senior year, when we had the free period together and you lived a block away from the high school, and we would just go there and hang out and listen to Tenacious D and watch just, I don't know, fucking Jackass and stuff like that. And just be eating tasty treats. A lot of, cosmic brownies, man.
I still make Autumn buy those every once in a while. Although it's like, I can't, like that's one of those things, like I have to make the adult conscious grown up choice to like, I can only buy them once in a while because I will eat an entire box in a day because they are fucking delicious. I love shitty food.
Yeah, there's just something, I mean,
it's like fake chocolate. And like,
yeah, the fake chocolate, right. But just with any of that stuff, I think definitely there is like the nostalgia factor to it. I mean, not that like you're thinking that when you're eating it, but it just has that like comfort level to it.
It's psychologically comforting. It's
yeah.
Well, I mean, this whole movie is based on nostalgia too. You know, it's fitting.
Yeah. This film and now Kevin Smith's, I mean, he's been saying during quarantine how he came up now, like, cause he's making Mallrats 2 supposedly. It's like, I get it. And like, at least I'll say this, his films compared to, I don't know what kind of franchise could, I mean, if a Star Wars movie, like let's go with the prequels of Star Wars, that ruins Star Wars more than like when Kevin Smith makes a sequel that's just like, you know, like, why are you making that or something like that, or just isn't as good.
Right. You know? It's a lot easier to ignore.
Yeah, like exactly. Like I can totally go back and watch the first Clerks or like
I said, if you were a huge fan of Clerks and if you hated everything else Kevin Smith did, you can still go back and go, Clerks was a great fucking movie.
Exactly.
If, for some reason with the Star Wars and stuff like that, sometimes the tainted sauce will bleed into the other flavoring.
Ooh, way to keep it food related.
Right? I'm trying really hard.
of the Kevin Smith films, let's just go with those again, whatever, like those first kind of six films. Do you have a favorite?
Mallrats was always my favorite.
Yeah, Mallrats is so good. So I'm very curious to see what they're going to do, you know, if he really funded. It was very low budget for the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, so it's just like I wonder if he'll go the same route or if he will go get. Also, this movie was it's very you can appreciate the times have changed because it's a Weinstein film. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah. that was actually one of the first things I noticed. Like,
yeah,
like, oh yeah. But yeah, like Mallrats was definitely I always loved Dogma, especially when I was like, younger. Just George Carlin as like the Cardinal and all that. Like, yeah. There's so much great about that. As I get older, like when I was a kid, I could care less about Chasing Amy. And I think that's
now.
Now I'm like, Chasing Amy is a really good fucking movie.
Yeah, that might be his best movie. I'm not saying it's my favorite, but that might be.
Like technical, hit all your check marks for.
Yeah.
Scholarly wise, it's his
empire.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
But then the silliness of, yeah, like between George Carlin and Chris Rock being in Dogma, come on.
Right, yeah.
So good.
Also, what's her name?
Which movie?
Selma Hayek. Oh, my God.
And oh, yeah. Gorgeous. Oh, I love one of my favorite.
She still looks the same. Like she's unnaturally kept it together.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Good for her. That's some great genes.
Yeah, and that introduction scene with her, and then Jay and Silent Bob in the crowd, and it's to Candy Girl, and he's just like Bob
shaking his head with the money,
with like, the money, yeah, exactly. Which we get a great music scene again. Well, there's a lot of montages in this movie, but that dance scene to ABC and Rosario Dawson teaching Dante on the rooftop, and. I mean, we also get some Q Lazarus and Goodbye Horses, right?
Yeah.
That's which I read.
That's one of my favorite things. Like, just Bob puts that in the tape deck.
Yeah, the giant boombox. Yeah.
And you just see Jay's face. He's like, oh.
Oh. Ooh. Like, yeah. That genuine, takes out the chapstick.
That genuine surprise of joy is great.
Exactly. Like when that track comes on that you're just excited about. And then that is one of the best landing jokes in the film because you kind of forget about it. And then Dante's fiance shows up and she's like, oh, let me show you outside. He's like, you brought me to see this? And it's just him doing the full-on Buffalo Bill tucked back and all, which I read via IMDb trivia, so take it with however you'd like to, but that Jason Mewes would do that to Kevin Smith all the time. So.
I have no trouble believing that.
Exactly. I believe that. Like, their friendship, I mean, that's, again, we refer to one another as hetero life mates, which is, I mean, we got that from this film. And not that one of us is Jay and the other is Silent Bob. I mean, I think we're both closer to Silent Bob than either of us being a Jay-type character. I don't know. If you were going to say one of us is Randall, one of us is Dante, who's who? I'd say this time of our lives, I'm probably more Randall.
Yeah, it's definitely flip-flopped at points.
It has flip-flopped.
Like, when we were younger, you were definitely, I don't mean this in any bad, but you were definitely the more concerned and worried and, you know, careful. But now, obviously, for, you know, like you said, now for obvious reasons, and I'm definitely more the Dante, probably more close to looks too. I got kind of chubby like him. So if I grew out the goatee.
And you're going to grow a goatee. Yeah, exactly. Brian O'Halloran, definitely, not to be mean towards him, it was like, I remember seeing that in 19, be like, oh boy, he didn't exactly age that well as an early 30-year-old.
Yeah, but I can relate to that now.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
It's so easy to get fat.
It's so much easier to get fat than it is to get back into shape. I'm trying that right now.
Well, it's like I was really good. I was going to the gym like 3 and 4 days a week up until the quarantine, and now it's been like a month and a half, and every good thing I've done, I've just totally reversed.
So your child's ruining your life is what I just heard that come out.
Well, to be fair,
it's more the quarantine.
To be fair, I wasn't going to the gym before he was born. It was about,
okay,
because there was still like 3 weeks that I could have like been outside and running around, and I didn't.
I said it before. There's interspecies erotica. We get a donkey show at the end of this movie. We don't see it. Thank God. I don't want to see that. That's never been a curiosity of mine.
Especially not.
The iteration in this film?
The wronger way? I mean, there's no right way for a donkey show, but...
Or just as far as our sexual preferences go.
Yes, let's put it that way, yeah.
Yeah, but nonetheless, yeah, that would be... That never, piqued any interest of mine at all, but, you know...
Although...
Kinky Kelly and the Stud.
I'm just really happy that there's a movie out there that has the line... Hey guys, get in here. He's about to cornhole this donkey. Like, that's a line. That's a line in cinematic history, and that's not.
Yes.
That's there. It's out there, and it's never doesn't go back.
And so, it's pretty funny how intrigued Rosario Dawson's character is.
I mean, realistically, like, I get it. it's like a really bad car wreck. You don't want to see that type of gore, but it's like.
I mean,
I get you're not going to sit there and watch the whole thing, but you're gonna take a peek.
Yeah, like, someone said, like, if, like, right around the corner, this is happening, I'd be like, what? And just, like...
You're going to stick your head around the corner and go, holy shit, and then pull right back. I understand that. But you're going to make that peak.
Hey, you know what? When I was in Thailand, I was curious, and I watched a ping pong show, so we'll leave it at that. Moving on, and just that relationship with Dante and Randall, I think just definitely... What am I trying to say right now? Rewritten history was a better, more scholarly way of saying that.
Revisionist history?
Revisionist, thank you. Maybe it's revisionist history. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like at the end of the movie, like during the jail cell scene, we kind of like both looked at one another and like kind of put our hands on one another's legs for a second in like solidation. I don't know if that's revisionist history. Maybe I just dreamed of it over the years.
I don't know, because you might just be crossing memories, because this definitely happened multiple times.
Okay, good. Yeah, maybe I'm just crossed. Yeah, exactly.
We are, I feel, mature, new age gentlemen that are not, we are not scared of like our toxic masculinity or anything like that.
Not the slightest. Yeah, definitely.
We are very comfortable with our emotions, and we have no problem saying, you know, I love you because you're my best friend. And we can show that emotion without feeling, you know, insecure.
Definitely. Like, we've obviously grown, and we, as we were saying before, with words used in this movie, or just like the times have changed, we have grown in that sense too. But I think I'm pretty confident in saying we were pretty progressive guys, as just as far as being pretty open with our thoughts and our emotions, as far as our friendship goes and everything like that.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Hey, even one of our, friends when I was in a film in high school because I wore his daughter's sweater, thought that I was gay. And I was fine with that. He was not happy that I was wearing his daughter's sweater in a movie or, you know, a short film pretending to be
one of our friends' dads. You just said one of our friends.
Oh, I did. I was just saying one of our friends. Oh, one of our friends' dads. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he never, well, he didn't really talk anyway.
But yeah, he just, you know.
And then he killed people for money. I just love now because we've definitely brought this up on a previous episode. Sam's dad being a gun for hire more than once now on your show.
Well, yeah, we had to have.
Somehow it always comes back to it.
Trying to think if it came up in like the shady corporate ways of Good Burger, but I can't
I don't know. I just know it's been talked about before, so.
Definitely. we also get a Ben Affleck cameo in this movie before they had their falling out. We get a Jason Lee cameo, and he's called Pickle Fucker. That's food relevant. we get, you said there's the go-kart scene. That is another montage scene to Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. That's keeping in the movie, just like, I mean, Clerks, you know, all took place inside of that quick stop, except for I think there's that one exterior shot of the funeral home, if I'm not mistaken. But everything else in Clerks is in, you know, inside that quick stop.
And I think it's almost done purposely. Because you see, like, Randall, after that Jason Lee encounter, you see Randall get frustrated. He's like, I have to get out of here. Where you never, like you said, the whole time he was, when the original Clerks, they never leave. And he's more comfortable in that store than outside of it. Where here, he doesn't want to be in this store at all.
Yeah, and then also later on this film, how he says, like, the best years of his life was working in that store.
Exactly. So I think it's almost done, like, purposely, that he's doing everything he can to get out of there.
Yeah.
To not be there, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, they definitely obviously take a bit more liberty being a bigger production at this point. They're in the parking lot, they're on the rooftop, and that kind of stuff. But as far as, I think that's definitely a distinct choice made to show the level in which the Jason Lee character was bothering him.
Right.
We get Smashing Pumpkins, 1979 montage.
Which that one was actually really good. And I love that song anyway.
Yeah.
But that was just done really well.
That's the part where, so we find
it was
out.
It was actually very similar to like the music video for 1979, like driving around the town in the car.
Oh yeah.
So it was just very reminiscent of the actual music video.
Yeah, it's the introspective moment in what I think Becky shows. It's before Kinky Kelly and the Stud, but it's when she tells Dante that
she's preggers.
She's pregnant, and then Randall tells him to go after her just because Kinky Kelly and the Stud pull up. But they're all having their little moments, and that's again Dante sees. Is driving around and sees inside a restaurant, and that's actually Kevin Smith's daughter Harley Quinn that's in the window at that point. We talked about the jail scene. That's why I just, in my notes, I have, I just wrote the heart, and because that is like holding Dante back. Yeah, no, just that is like that's the heart of the movie. That's the main message of the movie, of just like that these two guys' lives are intertwined and how much they mean to one another.
And just, like, what a relatable one in the sense that, like, you have, again, a situation we've been in where it's like you have two best friends and it's like, hey, the girl you're dating, I want you to be happy and I really don't want you, you know, the girl you're dating is not right for you. I want you to be happy and I want you to follow your heart, but I don't think this is going to make you happy versus the other person saying, I think you're just jealous and scared that, you know, I'm going to leave you type thing. And then those two ideas clashing and then finally realizing the full picture. You know,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just these two friends that, you know, I think that one another, they're afraid they're going to more Randall, I guess, as far as him not saying something or truly telling Dante like how he feels and how much it's going to hurt him to like leave him in New Jersey when he's starting a whole new life. And he's like, I don't want to make new friends. And then Becky even has that moment. She was like, oh, do you like, she says like, does she make you happy? And she's like, I think she makes you happy for what she represents. right. in that whole right. part of the movie. But yeah, no, it's definitely upon rewatch. There's more good than not that it was bad, but well, no, it is. I mean, it's bad. There's obviously again, there's offensive words being used, but definitely more. I think
it's all in the name of fun. It's not there to purposely offend anybody. It's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's played out in comedic effect with Wanda Sykes. And
it's a very
like that.
Funny movie. If you yes. take it for what it is a very funny movie.
Oh, just the first, I wrote down just, I mean, when Randall shows up in the movie, I love, we didn't even say how the movie specifically begins. It starts in black and white, and Dante shows up to the quick stop, opens up the metal door.
Security gate, yeah.
Yeah, the security gate, and there's color the fire going on. And then it all changes the color, and he calls like the fire department. And then Randall shows up, and Randall just goes, "Terrorists." Like, he goes, "Oh, I left the coffee pot on again, didn't I?" And, but just we're talking 2006. This is like 5 years after 9/11. But like, it's just hilarious that like you know in that character's world he's like terrorists, like that's just him again in the jail cell saying like they really haven't changed like you know much of the design in the past couple hundred years, like that's just that character is hilarious to me.
Yeah, the whole stream of consciousness, like thinking out loud flow yeah. of his candor is fantastic.
Yeah, and how he says to Dante like nobody, like, I'm a miserable son of a bitch. And he's just like, but you were always my counterbalance. And that's even right. that it's representative in the movie. Like, if you had a movie that was just Randall, it would probably get old. If you had a movie about just Dante, it would be boring.
Right.
But they play such a great yin and yang to one another. And then a more obviously extreme effect than you have your Jay and your Silent Bob, who then end up funding them reopening the Quick Stop. So how perfect
yeah, which
that?
Is, we don't have that kind of cash. Well, we do.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's just like, we just want a permanent place. And he's like, and then I want to see you blow him.
We want to watch. Right, maybe the first thing then.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Just, yeah. I loved rewatching this movie. I would definitely, if anyone has any doubts, I would say go. It was a little tough to find. It was only available to rent on Apple TV.
Yeah, what a fucking runaround to find this thing.
Yeah, I have it on DVD, but all my DVDs for space reasons are at my parents, so I should have picked that up beforehand. But nonetheless, I feel like Kevin Smith's film, since he has his own cinematic universe, should exist on one streaming platform. You would think.
I had to watch this on a friggin' iPad because, like, I have a PC and an Xbox, and like because it's Apple TV, I couldn't download it to like anything Mac. I mean, anything Windows. So, yeah. So I downloaded a free trial of Apple TV to my work iPad, which hopefully. I don't
so technology wise, this whole episode was a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh my God. From the get go.
From the get go. It was a sign in the beginning. And yeah. Let's see. Oh, let me see if I wrote down any other questions. Oh, okay. Do you have just because this you know it takes place in a food establishment and there's you know we see the food a little bit. There is the montage of them prepping in the morning and everything like that. And then I think when Pickle Fucker Jason Lee comes in, that he makes that nasty. What he takes the ice from the urinal and that kind of stuff.
Oh, side note on that. Okay, uh-huh. So you know how Jason Lee passes it off to Jay?
Yeah. Like,
and Jay knows. He goes, "Huh, this tastes like piss and flies." I love that he knows exactly what piss and flies taste like.
Yeah, piss like, is one thing because obviously the smell factor in the taste, yeah. But flies.
He knows exactly what flies taste like.
Yeah, there were like three flies on the burger on the Skinny Moo. Yeah. Do you have a favorite fast food breakfast? I've never been a fast food breakfast guy.
Fast food breakfast, I'm not big on.
Yeah, I see those like, you see the egg like in this film too, how it's just like.
This is the loaf of egg.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like you see that at McDonald's, at Dunkin' Donuts. Didn't Wendy's just start doing breakfast, I think?
They tried, you're right, but they also tried doing breakfast, like, I want to say...
Around the time this movie came out?
Yeah, probably right around it or right before it, because I remember we were in high school, and it did not last.
Around the time of the Baconator?
Yeah, probably, and so this is, like, Wendy's, like, second attempt at it. I have not tried it, and I don't have much urge to.
Yeah.
As much as I am your shitty food guy.
We live in the state of Taylor ham, egg, and cheeses. So.
Yeah, so you can get, yeah. There's multiple like bagel joints around me.
And yeah, exactly. If you can get a good breakfast sandwich for like
and there's four diners within like walking distance of me.
Yeah, exactly. So, also the land of diners. Yeah. Suppose has he ever had a diner scene? Maybe in Dogma. But I don't know.
But I will say, as far as the fast food breakfast goes, Autumn, my wife, she is a huge
fan. My wife.
Yeah. It's relevant. We're funny. It's just like it's just like an episode of Family Guy, guys.
And I also said, hey, you know what? I said that was one of the movies that we saw together. Right. That, you know, so.
You're right. Bringing it all around.
That's called a callback.
Autumn is a big fan of the Taco Bell Breakfast Crunchwrap. She says that's the best one.
Interesting. So tomorrow is Taco Tuesday. Cinco de Mayo on a Taco Tuesday.
Cinco de Mayo on a Taco Tuesday, ruined by a virus called Corona. Fucking
fantastic. First St. Patrick's Day, now Cinco de Mayo.
Right?
Horrible. And Easter. But that, you know, who cares about that? Buddy Christ does, tell you.
He wasn't sent here to give us the willies.
Well, let's just, I sent you before a scene that we'll talk about, and I feel like it's a perfect one for us to talk about from a non-foodie movie, and that is the Simpsons movie, which also, you know, I didn't write down the year. I feel like it came out pretty much around the same time as this movie, maybe 2007. I know it was one of the first.
2007.
Maybe it was one, I think it was like the first, like, I got to pick two. 2007, the Simpsons movie. I got to pick like two Blu-rays to come with my first Blu-ray player after I bought the what was that even called? HD DVD. Because I was an HD DVD.
You were so certain.
I was so certain. I feel like we're both men that appreciate history and think it's going to repeat itself. So I went with HD because that was like Toshiba, and that was, you know, the VHS and everything like that.
Yeah, I just remember you bought the HD DVD attachment for your Xbox 360.
Yeah, which is also
I think you ever
which like that was the whole thing as far as PlayStation had the leg up that like Blu-rays went right into the PlayStation 3, right?
Right.
But then there's the whole studios. What studios were with what? But whatever. We're going to just, we'll play the clip right now from the Simpsons movie, and then we'll talk about it.
We're neighbors. I'm sure your father would do the same for my boys.
Thank you. Hey, what's with you?
You really want to know?
Of course I do. What kind of a father wouldn't care about a pig wearing a hat?
Action! Hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico! And we're clear.
Okay, so they're at, that's perfect. I mean, we're talking, it was a fast food movie, so we've got a fast food scene there, a Krusty Burger, one of the most, like, famous, I feel like, fast food, fictitious fast food chains. I mean, want to just give a, I mean, it's The Simpsons. The Simpsons means, I think, so much, I know, it means so much to the both of us. Do you watch, like, any of the new seasons?
I don't make it, like, a point to sit down. I mean, it's hard just to have it. Schedule now for anything, but I don't make it a point to sit down. But now that FX plays Simpsons pretty much around the clock on like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I've caught a lot of the new stuff just by having it as background noise.
Gotcha.
It's my whole thing with the new Simpsons. Everyone's like, "Oh, you know, the new Simpsons are terrible. It's just too ridiculous." I think that the Simpsons has kind of always been this silly. It's always been a reflection on. You know, real life, and I think real life has just gotten so absurd that...
Oh, that's interesting.
I think The Simpsons have been doing the same thing. It's that real life is so fucking ridiculous now that it just makes it seem that much further.
Yeah, if anything, at least, maybe even just not, like, all of life, but at least in entertainment and pop culture, right?
Yeah.
Between reality TV and influencers and just how... superficial. So yeah, it's always been a satire.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Like, there's definitely the golden era of The Simpsons and stuff. Like, I'm not saying this is the greatest stuff.
Yeah, like seasons like 3 through like, I don't know, 10.
Even further than that. I mean, they were, but there's still some really funny like gags on The Simpsons. Like, don't get me wrong. You know?
Oh, I love, and it's definitely, it's food related. But I there's that whole. Did you see that New Orleans episode of like Homer talking about what places he's been to? And it's just pretty much, it's, if you've ever been to New Orleans, it's just hilarious because it's Homer saying what he's eaten at each place, and they use all real places and places I've been to. And I think even someone like in real life recreated it, showing them outside of the places eating the same thing that Homer was. So it's just a great food moment.
Nice. But yeah, so it's like, I'm still like, I'll defend The Simpsons anytime, you know. Oh, they suck now. Fuck you. You're wrong. You suck. That's the problem. Yeah. We all suck now, and that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think it's probably, I mean, what, are you going to go watch the Vanderpump Rules instead or something? You know, are you going to like, you're going to go watch The Real Housewives, like any crappy reality show? You'd rather watch that than the silly Simpsons? Like, it still has hilarious, like, brilliant writers on it.
I say, yeah, it's like, because it works, you know, if you just want to look at it, it works on both levels, as in any of these adult animations do. If you want to deep dive into it, most of it's there. If you just want to take it at face value and laugh at silly jokes, that's okay, too.
Yeah. And this, know? I mean, so when The Simpsons movie came out, I mean, the anticipation was high. I mean, they were talking for a long time about doing a Simpsons movie. I mean, we got a South Park movie, I think, after, what, one or two seasons of South Park?
A little bit later, I think two or three, maybe, but yeah, same point.
But at this point, it's 2007. The Simpsons started in, I think, 1987?
Yeah, so this is 30 years.
Or at that point, 20 years.
20 years, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. And the movie's funny. It's actually, it's relevant towards today's episode that we're talking of the fictitious fast food scene, but then also in that movie, they're going through a bit of a pandemic. I'm surprised we haven't gotten the clear dome over us yet, like being right next to New York City and everything that's, you know, the amount of numbers that are in Bergen County in New York City. But this scene in particular, they're at Krusty Burger, and it's actually kind of perfect. This is you're now a father. This is a father and son scene, and Homer is just eating away. What Bart? It starts off with Bart just talking to Ned, and he just kind of recognizes that point as much of a punchline that Flanders is. He sees like that he's actually attentive towards his kids.
Yeah, an actual caring father. Yes,
versus Homer just being oblivious and all of that that comes with.
What do I need? A father that's consistent.
Scarfing away on this burger, and Bart is just, you know, trying to get his attention, and just Homer going, a pig wearing a hat! We get the introduction to the pig that ends up playing a big part of this movie, and then Krusty trying one of his actual, what's the sandwich called? The clogger?
Yeah, it's you know, and that's going back to, like, stuff we used to do. It's like, reminds me of, I like to say when me and you called the fucking chicken bowl things at KFC.
Oh, the yeah, what was that? Just the bowl, right?
Is yeah,
that
what KFC would say. It's like, yeah, I just, you know, we used to make jokes about how, like, KFC was getting so ridiculous that soon, and this is in the early 2000s, like, we were freshmen, sophomore.
Yeah, and also, yeah, it was around the time, because there was someone, we were on a set construction running crew together for, like, the high school plays and stuff like that, and there was one.
Oh, the Burger King and I.
No, the Burger. That one's good. That one's good. But one of our, you know, someone we went to school with, you know, Wendy's was one of. I feel like we would go to like Wendy's or Quiznos, and we would have lunch breaks on like the weekend.
Used to get the triple burger, the triple bypass burger.
Yeah. And like, so it's just like that. It fell in that era of food, and we were just always joking, like, "Oh yeah, you just take some of that. Yep, stir it together. Okay, yep, we're good."
Just and then, go to KFC, just do a little bit of everything. Just put it in a bowl, and I'll eat it in a trough. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I think all of a sudden, they came out with the bowl. It's like, yeah, it's mashed potatoes and gravy and chicken, just in a bowl. Eat it like a fucking horse.
Yeah, I think it was the same time that I came down to see the Borat movie. And, like, I got down late, and you're like, oh, there's not many food places open, but let's just go to KFC. I can't remember if we like discovered it together. We were like, oh my God, they actually made it.
Or they did it. Oh my God.
They did it. It's like Frankenstein's monster. Like,
yeah.
It's like Trump before Trump.
They spent so much time thinking whether or not they could. They never stopped to think whether or not they could.
Ooh, nice Jurassic Park reference. Dr. Ian Malcolm. But yeah, so the clogger in this, and then Krusty just like spitting it out and just going, yuck. Like, it's just hilarious. Again, that's just the Simpsons spoof, satire, whatever you want to call it. Clearly, Krusty being a clown, McDonald's, all that that comes with that. But just, I mean, the movie was funny. Did it feel like it could have been like three continuous episodes or something like that? Maybe, but it's still a funny
movie. Absolutely agreed. I mean, it delivered on what, you know what I mean? It didn't need to be this. You weren't going there for an Oscar experience.
No, I think, again, there was a lot of anticipation, but then sometimes people just like get their expectations up. Like, but what did you really?
Their expectations up without even knowing what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, please tell me. That's what that's tends to be like. That's when I know something isn't good, is when me, an average Joe, like, and it's not me like patting myself on the back, but if I can come up with a more fluid, like, logical story progression, I go, wow, that movie wasn't that great.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, if you can just kind of start rattling off other ideas right away. But if you gave me, if you're like, oh, what full you know, feature length film did you want from The Simpsons, I have no fucking clue. Like, I couldn't tell you.
Right.
But, well, Dan, I know we normally, you know, you did it on the first episode. I've got the Gut Instinct episode. I don't have anything long like that for, revisiting guests, but I do have one question, and that would be if you could have one dream dinner guest, who would it be? Living or dead?
Living. Dead would probably smell. that's tough. That's really tough. Because there's so many people to like pull from. Like, mine most likely would probably come from, because we wouldn't even talk. Oh, I got to relieve my wife soon.
Yeah. This is then we'll let you go.
Yeah. Right now, probably Steve McQueen.
Ooh. Okay.
I feel like, normally I would go somewhere music, but right now I've been on a kick, and I've been looking at a lot of Triumph motorcycles, and I would probably ask him a lot of stuff not about acting.
I like that. That's a good answer. Well, you know, we've got the line to finish up every episode. Well, first, thank you for coming on, Dan.
I love you. Anytime, you know that.
You're my hetero life mate. Although I know in my best man speech, I said you now have, you know, Autumn is your hetero life mate. But then I did whisper to you right afterwards, no, we're still hetero life.
Yeah, we know where. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like the Statue of Liberty where she stands.
but yes, thank you for coming on. Obviously this is a crazy time we're living in, and it's only amplified that much more for you now being a father with your newborn and all of that. Is there anything you would like to promote right now, truck sales or anything?
If you need a truck, hit me up, Bergie's Truck Center. But generally, I'm just trying to keep a wife and a kid happy, and I'm getting yelled at. I kind of got to get a move on here. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. It's okay. So we've got the line to finish up every episode. It's, you know what it is. It's there's more to cut. So if you could just tell the foodies out there that sentence.
Hey, all you foodies out there. There is always more to cut.
Thank you, buddy. Love you.
Hey, love you too. I'll talk to you soon. I promise.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet